sweat at night with a big old wedgie.
You know, ever since I ran out of Teflon spray, I haven't been able to face this pack.
No, that's good.
If I could walk that way, I wouldn't need the talcum powder.
If there weren't girl eggs stuck to the ceiling of my refrigerator, I wouldn't have to... You know, I wouldn't have to lick the ice cube trays like this. Or like this. Or like this.
Well, that's right.
But so what time does Negative Land play tonight?
They come on right now. They're on next.
But doesn't Mark owe us $5?
They told me they'd be on when they could find the E.
All right. Still Negative Land owes us $5, guys. Let's collect. Right.
Okay, let's go. Let's find them here. We're going to whoop up on
Well, that means we have to get on the bus and go up to Washington.
Okay, so what about the allegations of abuse now? The church.
Oh, the sad.
Oh, the balls in Dobbstown.
Yeah.
The allegations of hand abuse.
The pinkies in C-class.
Nail benders.
Dobbstown 3.
Skin flaps, whippers.
Hawk in arrears.
Fish flippers.
Nostril stretchers.
But as we embark upon this dauntless journey, this gauntlet of slack.
Well,
this fair ship on the seas of the sea hole. We shall go in search of the great, huge white whale of slack, the abominable snowman of the Atlantic Ocean.
Who sailed the mighty seas on
the bounding main
ship of flapping skin flaps.
Good ship Dobbs with its great skin sail.
And now,
held aloft on a mast made of bone, human femur bones.
And Dobbs would stand.
Crewman.
And now you
Dobbs would stand on the end of the gangplank, his great cup of
and
grog
sing
in his
out.
Hand.
Whip those skinners back, boys.
His sextant held at his lap as he scanned the horizon for a sign of land or the sun or anything.
Or something,
by which to
something in which he could leave that skin boat that stunk so bad in the sun. As
the
he
SS Great Man.
The skin boat of Dobbs as it sailed the Sargasso Sea.
The Sargasso Sea of... What was that? A
smoothly cruising past the seaweed draped wreck, the haunted mass of the destroyed ships of Davy Jones'
brown triangle,
a Sargasso Sea of Slack,
the brown triangle at the apex of the pit of the world's seas, seven seas.
Don't fall in.
Little mentioned eight seas.
Is that Frank McMinn?
That's Frank McMinn over there. He's saying.
Let's see if he can get him to come over here. He could sell that whale meat if anybody could.
On your dime.
Hey, let's kill that show over in that other room.
Yeah, what's with that other, that Wotan show that's competing with us?
Let's go wipe their asses.
Wait, no, we're supposed to kick their ass.
Oh, wait.
Man, you have been.
I don't know.
You've been in the deep freeze for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, but that's good. That's good.
That's good.
Berkeley.
Paparazzi still surrounding the radio station. It's the only way for the radio DJs to feel important is to point as many cameras as they can at their own selves and as many microphones to play back as many tapes of themselves talking at once as possible.
I think the popper Nazis are here taking our photographs.
Somebody say poppers? Because we never got to do anything. The Columbine Research Squad, in response to Papa Joe Mama's call to NPR and connecting our church to an ongoing murder investigation.
Yeah, this was 4 days after Columbine. He called in and warned the world about the subgenius.
Wasn't there some band out in this part of the country that did some joke about a murder and got all kinds of PR because of it, and it was all a lie?
Yeah, there was.
But it proved how stupid everything was. And
that's exactly the
cost everybody a lot of money.
I heard about that.
No, I heard that was a hoax.
There are people like that out here.
My parents made me buy their record. My parents took me, when they heard about that rumor, they took me down to the record store and they made me buy that record.
I don't want to play that record that's going to make me kill you.
It was a terrible scene. That's how I met Gary.
I know. Gary?
Because I was walking the other way on the street and I saw this altercation.
Gary, you've got to learn to be like other children. Now play that record that's going to make you kill us.
We're ready now. Play the record.
But I don't like Black Sabbath or Negative Land.
Well, imagine the scene. There's Gary Gabrofam in a matching bathing suit with his mom and pa.
That's
standing
true.
By the pool.
There was a tiny suit, too.
A little
but we had a 12-foot spike wall around our mud pit, so we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, you people stay out. You cannot come into the spike pit unless you are
Jewish, invited. You know.
Yeah. I met Gary's mom. She's only about 7 inches tall.
Yeah,
you know. Well, you know, Weird Al used to carry around in her pocket for song ideas.
And she came to the 84 Subgenius show with Weird Al. And
right, she was seen on the arm of Weird Al, who wouldn't talk to anybody but the Mrs. Gabrofam friend.
Yes, as a translator is what's happening.
But he was like an Eddie Haskell. Oh, it's a lovely
dress.
Who was
the German diva that was there? What's her name?
Huh? Oh, Nina Hagen.
Nina Hagen invited me to her house to take acid.
You have folks up picking us up. In studio, we have a couple of members of the infamous Yes, Nina Hagen was holding weekly UFO church services at her house, and I believe that Maxwell Professor Mothersbaugh took Janer Sterno and Mark Hosler there, where he, Mark Mothersbaugh, proceeded to embarrass everyone by chanting that which must not be chanted on any radio station or in any earshot of anybody at any time.
Well, that one time we were up at his house with Fairchild.
Exactly. The same sort of exhibition. In a house in which I opened the refrigerator, it was entirely full of energy drinks.
Well, it's not usually
nothing else. This guy's my friend. But then he put big speakers in his windows because the Go-Go's live down the hill.
I thought it was Stevie Nicks.
Oh, well. No, see, there's that memory thing again.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and...
Remember Sammy Jenkins.
Well, see, I remember the Go-Go's because I just recently found out
why... You remember Sammy Jenkins. I remember Leonard
Shelton.
Things
were so weird. Huh? The night that Devo played at the Mabuhay, the Go-Go's opened. But as I remember,
you know,
it was so terrible that we booed them off the stage. And it turns out that they actually were the Go-Go's with the old drummer. And I because the old drummer then proceeded to once
old
again.
Old drummers, that was
go
a
like
great
this
man.
On me.
Obviously,
they were terrible. And later I found out
the old drummers were
they ditched
band.
Her. The old drummers.
Oh, you mean the Go-Go's?
Yeah.
The old drummers.
And became
good.
What they became. The old drummers are a great band. But the old drummers are good.
But then there's the old drumming. He's bad. He's not good by any stretch of
not the old drummers.
We say the old drumming is beat.
And it's your own taste.
Yes, he's like a drum. And he is being beat by
thin skin.
Carry Drummond down to the beach to put in the fire to light him up.
Show almost over.
Yes, this is Philo Drummond's Viking funeral.
I want to go to the beach. To the beach.
Stang, they just throw in the water. But Philo Drummond gets this enormous Viking ship. And all of his tapes and CDs are piled on top.
Right. Oh, but I get thrown in the water by the red-headed babes, the
it's
cruel,
so
whip-bearing, spiked redheads.
Unbelievable. It's going
to
be
all pushing and shoving
and not
elbowing their way
like a
to this honor.
trying to count the balls.
And there in the middle of all these people is Michael Pepe, also trying to help carry Ivan Stang to the water. In a weird display of loyalty to the church.
We all displayed our loyalty to Bob.
Yeah, look at mine.
Whether we were wearing a nice warm coat or motor oil and pink feathers, we displayed our love of the smart people went to sleep.
You know, I showed Bob my loyalty, but he asked me to cover it back up.
But anyway, the whole thing was we were saying the same unmentionable, terrible things as I drove, because I helped clean up the ancient
have you noticed he goes into these trances?
Is this that same old story about the giant Bob
the long... Actually, that is that. And then driving up toward Mother's Boss' house, and I hear this
MOBA, yes.
Real loud. Things like, you know, I just, Disney was wiped out there, so none of you could hear what I said.
He sounded like Guy Duel.
Doing a Scottish subgenius thing.
Guy Duel.
Of course, Girl Duel.
Guy Duel.
Doctors for Bob. And everything real in my life. I got the blues. Cause that damn pickup gun run over my wife. Doctors for Bob. And everything real in my life. Real in my life, Doctors for Bob.
And Girl Duel, his evil twin sister.
What's the matter? Haven't you ever had a man with throat cancer before?
We should send him this many videos. And
my old man's got cancer, so what do you think about that? Got cancer of his head.
But he said cancer on the air.
He said cancer on the air?
Yeah. And he's a Pisces.
You know, everything has to die while on the air.
Hey, I've got to go to the hospital.
About what happened during the show. Please delete now.
What are you talking about there?
I wish that was all, folks.
Hey, I got to take Marty to the hospital, guys. I'll be back.
You can also roll time back.
And so he started the car and zoomed down the driveway. All right, and then he went north. And I thought, well, he's familiar. Maybe he knows a shortcut. And then I noticed
Marty was screaming.
Marty was
I'm going to deliver before we make it to the hospital. Stop joking around. This is serious.
Soon he returned to the persona of Colonel Sphinx Drummond. Intrepid explorer.
Please give me less frog. Less frog.
Suddenly, it was too late.
Out of his butt. Shot. The son of Sphinx.
Is the son.
What is the moral backbone of this country?
And so,
do that.
The subgenius middle archy cradled the baby and took it to the king.
Terrible.
Go to him.
Sidestepping human evolution. Torturing their animals.
It's cute, isn't it? Didn't the South Park guys do this already?
Yes.
You ready for the hospital?
Yeah, in fact, they've done it before.
Go to the hospital.
Yeah, but we did it. Actually, if you think about it, we did it first.
Hey, Philo, do you have to go to the hospital?
But they did it again.
Back in our kids and right. Every minute of
all right.
It.
Well, hold on for a minute. We'll go to the hospital in a second.
Okay.
We got a show right now.
Show? I thought this was just your memory. Yeah.
Did you know that the Boston Strangler used to chase Michael Pepe around the park?
That's true.
When he was a kid.
I was the prize. You know, he'd strangled everyone but me, and I was going to speak out.
Really?
What happened? What happened? Did the caller? Did the caller
and
leave?
Also, Michael Pepe did a sex show.
Did the guest caller leave?
As a teenager to make money and didn't know that you weren't supposed to actually do sex.
This now can be said. My parents are the last one. And so,
I guess the guest caller.
But, you know, I was good, but it was very cheap.
And how much money did you make?
You had to be there 11 hours a day, and you got like $100 or something. It wasn't...
That's pretty
this
good
is
money for
1978.
Yeah,
just before you moved out here.
70. I'm sorry,
like early 70s.
Worth about $6 back then.
Yeah, actually 75, 76. And
$100 back then. Make you cheer, man.
$100 back then. You had to hang out at donut shops.
$5 now.
And listen to Maniacs. $5.
It cost $5.
This is when I went insane.
To be $100 today, America.
$20 tomorrow. Hang out at donut shops.
$20 only worth about 3 cents. 100 years.
$40.
People writing down what you say.
Now, didn't Pee Wee Herman also do that for a living at one point?
Yeah, he kind of came down.
That's
right.
Well, he. Hey, man, you remember the good old days?
Yeah, I remember
back when I used to call
it's
in.
Colonel Sphinx Drummond.
But,
I remember those good old days.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah, when you used to call in. You need to go to the hospital, though.
Things ain't never going to be like they used to be. I don't care how hard we try.
He's more sexy than ever.
You can try to go back and duplicate those times, or replicate them, or repeat them, or whatever, but it's never going to be the same.
No, it'll never be quite the same, but you need to go to the hospital.
You can make it exactly the same.
I got to know. Do you need to go to the hospital?
You can do it with software, man. You can do anything.
You need to go to the hospital?
You can even make Michael Pepe shut up with software. Now, were you listening on the internet? In the internet?
As a joke, she was posed holding the cigar. as a joke holding a
gun. So are you listening on the internet?
She had a pet rabbit, which Clyde used to have to take care of.
Hey, you guys need to go to the hospital?
Yeah.
We've already been a couple times during the show.
Good old days and more.
Are you listening on the internet?
Yeah. Sleep.
Yeah,
sleep.
I used to do that. Then you know what happened to me?
The rabbit.
I had to actually go to work instead of just hanging out all the time.
You're probably the only person listening to the show that has to go to work.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, though.
It is pretty cool.
What are you doing, man?
Yeah, man, this is hard work. I'm all sweaty.
Stop working.
I'm all sweaty right now from working.
Does this suck? Or Charles?
What? That's right.
I know.
You got a truck for Charles?
I know.
Charles, how are you doing?
He's over there holding that camera and eating, and it's a lot of hard work he's doing.
Yeah, I used to call in back in the days when the show was good.
Stop working.
Yeah, those were great days
before it started getting weird. Back when it used to have meaning.
Yeah.
Man, the show was great then.
And people used to stay up all night long to listen to
it. All over the country listening to the show.
And then they would be so excited after hearing it that they wouldn't be able to go home and go to sleep. So
yeah.
They would just stay up all the next day.
I mean, you can't expect that anymore. It's a wholly different
the whole next week in anticipation of the next
show.
These
are not the 70s.
Yeah, they do
well, it's another century,
man. If they call
what happened?
Next 100 years.
Next 100 years.
This is the executive subgenius retreat here on KPFA in Berkeley.
Summit.
We're brave enough to cross those frontiers.
KFCF in Fresno and KPFA.
Oh, man, I'm going to get in the shower now because, see, I'm over here on the East Coast.
And what has been
just dial
late
from the East Coast.
Now I have to get ready to go.
Dial 1.
And the phone doesn't work in the shower, but I just wanted to remind y'all about how good things used to be.
Well, before you go to the hospital, you should
anyway, you guys take care.
Okay.
Same to you.
Go to what? In the hospital? Oh, there he goes.
It's over. It's over. I think he's gone.
He's gone to work.
The last
caller. That's the only thing.
He works at the hospital.
The show.
He liked going to
the hospital. He got a job there finally because he was there so much. Yeah.
It'll take about an hour for the show to
well,
down.
I think listening to this show could have given him.
So it's dead already, or it's going to very soon?
It's
could
all have done.
Given him both the education and the skills to get a job.
You're off the air now, Michael.
You know what
it's
I know.
Nobody over. Can hear you, Michael.
I'm going to get the skills to get the job.
Hey, Michael.
This is the job I'm going
to dial 1.
You're going to get the skills to get the job to get the blue shoes.
I want to apply for a job, you know, as a Homeland Security specialist working at KVFA 5 hours every Sunday.
Is that front door, back door? What did they put you?
To try to teach young people what really should be taught about.
They put him at the back door.
Roof.
Yeah. They don't want to scare
you know, their private
roof security.
Oh, guarding the dish.
The dish.
Plus, they don't want to scare
don't know
their
enough
clientele.
About their
dish dick.
And then
so they put
what
it on the back.
My life to
because he's
you're
got
a,
that
you're
face.
A teacher,
exploring
Michael.
Exploring and exposing
and those, that
to
hair.
The public.
I'm glad that somebody is thinking about our young people.
That's
in
right.
In that way.
That's
I always
right.
think about the
I'm
other
thinking
people.
About our gun people.
Thank you, Reverend Stang.
You think about our gun people?
Children. Yeah, all the time. I'm worried. Who has a gun? Who doesn't?
That's right.
Call in now.
Are my children educated?
I got one of them.
My mom has a gun.
Does that my make children you feel know better? What to do.
No, that scares me. Why do you got a gun?
Don't let your children
my
turn out to
want to shoot something.
Radio
someday.
Geeks like
you
these
don't,
guys.
Don't bring a gun to
my
show.
The latest.
Find out how you have
to prevent
them.
The gun is a perfect judge. It has no sex.
A microphone babbler is
bringing
a gun in the bashing of
the gun. Because
I thought you said
the government knows that.
I need my really,
and so let's go into their own reality.
Armed and humorous.
People, yeah,
we march into the future.
But we have safe guns.
Now.
They shoot
have
rubber
to sell
bullets.
Them
they
all
don't
kinds
they
of
just
important
laugh
things
they,
later.
The guns laugh instead of making shot sounds.
Yes,
and the bullets, when they hit you, they tickle you.
We've gone to figure out what they
the
want, what they like, what they
death.
Don't like.
It's going to be a wonderful future.
This is random nonsense. Church reform, the next 100 years. Take it.
Okay, church reform. Okay, what are we going to do for the next 100 years?
How are you going to
you are on the board. You for 250. You have
the gay Perry.
That's right. Well, how can you improve upon a church that has done so much for so little? You know,
for so few.
Look at the numbers.
Never have so few.
From the output
from so many by so much.
Well, if you look around, almost every member of the Church of the Subgenius is in this radio studio
right now. I mean, it's like if there was an atom bomb to go off right now. Not that there should be.
There were a couple of Subgeniuses who were able to.
Clam chowder.
Yeah, free speech.
Or FBI.
We're all screwed.
That's right.
The church is screwed.
CIA.
revolts
against the Vatican. If the bastion of free speech gets nuked right now by Al Qaeda,
this is the Vatican.
Three or four major religions.
That's right. This is the Vatican of alternative religion
right now, as we see it.
Well, at least, hell yeah.
That's right.
They're going down. If
the Church of the Subgenius goes down, civilization goes.
Safety. If the pipes stop smoking.
I would say it was the Edict of Nantes.
Stupid. 4 cents. You only have 4 cents. I own the rights to the word.
Going down. 4 cents.
This will decide the fate of the world.
Stupid. What?
Stupid. I own the rights to the word stupid.
The entire universe is about to be discussed now.
Trademark rights on that.
What say ye, fellows? Destroy or leave alone?
So, is it broken? Our guest caller, she was around here screaming.
If it's not broken, I think we should have
the Reverend Stang, Rototill, all of reality.
She's going.
If it is, if it's not broken, I say we go in there and fix the damn thing.
Fix the hell out of it.
Broke or unbroken.
You get a
frisker? There you are. Just fix it. Yeah.
Tamper. Hey. That's our motto. Tamper.
If you don't work, you gotta fix it.
Semper tamper. Too much acid has been the downfall of many saintly world leaders.
And now he's just a crazy mockery of a man.
I remember when that happened to Ford.
That's true. Pull it out of your...
When Ford started doing too much acid.
What was it, Gary?
I would own that company.
Where's Gary?
He's sleeping. It seems like sooner or later every president ends up doing too much acid.
Why?
I don't know.
Why? Because it's... feels good.
Because they
people like to get high.
Watch. We're back to a
basic step. Gary wishes he was home.
So what?
So where's the caller?
And the caller was enormous.
Hello, caller. Is that you? Does it work if I punch it over here?
I'm going to agree with you on the president's taking acid. I mean, look at our current president. The guy always looks doped out on something. Jesus Christ. What is he? He popped up on coke?
When I was asked whether we would accept bids in the 600 to 700 million range.
Oh, God.
I answered.
That guy had a screw loose there, man.
That's a price.
Oh, the caller seems to feel that our country is going downhill and the presidents behave as if they were high on LSD.
Put them like that.
Callers, what do you have to say about this truly original and startlingly original observation?
That's bad.
Good, thank you. Next.
That's good.
Well, actually, the country goes downhill for about 15 minutes, and then it goes uphill for a while. It even kind of gets up and down, up and down. Sometimes it goes uphill for a long time. Then it goes rushing down, speeding out of control.
Sometimes it'll take a left turn or right in the middle when you think it's going to go straight. It takes a crazy left turn.
Casey Jones at the wheel of our country.
Says hookalooey.
Casey Jones, the fastest train racer of all time.
And he was, little people, a lot of people.
He's driving. He's at the helm of Spaceship America.
Space travel.
Casey Jones, taking us in orbit around the moon and back. Who says this country's going to hell in a handbasket? Hell! The moon, the future, and Hooterville. That's Hooterville. America's destination.
Little Arnold Zeffel will finally get to go to college.
Hooterville.
Now, who says...
home of the Hooters.
Real nice place to live.
I'm sorry, I meant Hooverville.
Billy the Moon.
Hey, do you need to go to the hospital?
How'd you make that harmonica sound like a church pipe organ at the very end?
That was cool.
Can you get Marty to take you to the hospital?
Somebody take Philo to the hospital or his brother?
Can you get Philo's brother to take you to the hospital?
So, what?
He's going there anyway.
He works there now.
Some people get a kick out of being poked and prodded at the hospital. It's an expensive habit.
It makes them feel important when people are touching them and poking them and sticking instruments in them.
Expensive instruments.
The more expensive, the more important. Some people aren't even sick when they go to the hospital. They just want to go there to experience psychedelic drugs.
But that's their sickness, you see, Dr. Drummond. The hypochondriac is sick. Even though his
how do you cure
specific
that sickness
illnesses are made
more
up.
More and more drugs.
Well, that's what I do.
In a rice bowl.
I've thought about nurses ever since I was a young man. I've never stopped thinking about nurses.
Were you hurt as a child? Did you go to be in
I've
a
always been
for a
hurt.
While?
I've always been hurt as a child, as a young man, as an adult.
Yes,
I've never
too.
Stopped hurting.
Philo is a victim.
I used to count the number of times
he's a victim of this victim society.
I'm a victim of the society.
It's
of the
tendency to victimize
everything.
But he has good health care.
But, you know, it's your
but
own
fault.
It's
hospital.
True, you are a victim.
He was spoiled by that good health care, and in that respect, he's a victim.
I know.
I'm a victim of the society that made me a thinking human being, a beast of burden to the man himself.
Wasn't he in that DHA project?
We're not what you'd call
okay, now, at
over the past 200 years, the kind of consciousness is formed layer by layer in the crucible of the White House.
You can find out
the way life started in the ocean 4 billion years ago. The White House was our primordial soup, a base of evolution.
And if you want to, young ladies,
we are say the White House was our primordial soup, a base for evolution.
We
put that evil in evolution, friend.
You know, I went to the Oval Office, and they were out of pancreas, and they were out of sweetgrass. Doug spent some time in the Oval Office.
Boulevard waves.
And if you think he's
melon on
him,
he comes home from one of those
dates. That's right.
That's
how it goes. It's like subgenius says each room discloses a new and more cuter subgenius guy.
Yeah, that's right. So it's 848-4425. All the ladies in the 5-3 area code, please call right now.
And push the cough button.
We're going to guarantee you a date with an alien.
Dr. Drummond, he's a hound dog.
Date with an alien.
Okay, if the line ladies up outside.
Just come on down with us.
We
are partaking. You know what I mean?
Don't come down without calling,
maybe
but call first.
Partaying. As we say
then
in
you
Boston.
Can come down.
Boston, we are having a wicked kiss of partay.
That's the laziest damn food.
This is a partay. So, baby, come on down. It's like
it's a prosperity.
It's a vision of paradise.
It's a vision of
wake you up again. And you're in a different room. And you have to talk to us about JFK.
Have a frappe shakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakak
amount.
Here we are 6 years later.
And you fall
speaking
unconscious
the language
again.
Of God. Speaking.
Going through the same stuff with each other.
As you become conscious, sure, you know, you go through a series of...
I'll tell you, God's
of,
really happy now because he's getting 10% of that giant lottery
secret,
prize.
You dancing your dance.
You about that? Yeah. God's getting rituals, $17 million.
And, me dancing mine.
That have never been revealed to Mara Ann or anyone.
$17 million.
All the high sincerity
for making this guy and
you have
in,
to
win the lottery.
To perform to become a subgenius.
You want
to
change
$17
that?
Million because he won the lottery.
Not the word
so there is a God.
Is not a good word.
You want to change the whole radio
one,
and record business?
Wow. The, just to become a subgenius.
I mean, God, not God.
Right.
Yeah. A sex Connie. And
sex.
Your prospects in life will become greater.
A sex Connie,
a
did
sex
you say?
Connie?
There's the yeah, thank you, Philo. This is Philo Drummond, folks.
No, he wants a sex
rock
donkey.
That's right. And, yeah.
Philo, come
down,
on, grab that donkey.
And because this is it. Because after this...
There's no more show ever.
Well, no, we have to... Well, okay, but I mean,
well,
the point is
you.
We've got to also come to some kind of, you know, decisions about what, you know, I mean...
About
we
the next 100 years.
We haven't decided anything.
Well, I move we adjourn the show now.
Adjourn early?
I think we should go get donuts.
Seth, or, you know, other subgenii, you know... the guy in Japan, you know, the crazy guy in Japan.
Oh, yes. Yes.
What do we tell people like that that weren't here what we've decided?
Resurrect the dead air.
Resurrect the dead.
Air.
Air.
That's right. And only you call
heir
it
to
help
the,
us
the
bring back
the throne
stale,
of,
stinky show from last
the
week.
Heir to the throne of Bob.
Somewhere
there's
Friday
no
morning.
Heir in Bob's throne.
You're
early.
Radio
except
playing.
For
that's another thing.
The methane.
You can stop
what
it.
What if Bob dies again?
You can stop
what do you mean,
it.
What if? Bob what if? Dies again
what do you think?
Constantly.
I mean, he's been shot before. He could be shot again.
What's worse, he could shoot back this time.
That's right.
He's armed and humorous, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, am I stopped?
But, you know, I think we've got to come down one point or another on Bob.
Let's get back to this Connie stuff.
What about the sex Connie?
Right.
We're
well,
going like in a good direction.
Those are going to show up. I assume we'll hear some kind of a doorbell or something. That.
No, we've heard about the Connie, but what about the sex Connie?
The sex Connie, well... And
except for Jake
some
Keating.
Of our great subgenii of the past have said that the sex Connie is almost like an embodiment of slack.
Right. Well, I've always thought the sex Connie was a myth, a metaphor,
that's
an ideal.
That's what was thought before, but now they're coming to realize that the sex Connie may have actually been a prehistoric ancestor of modern Connie. Of the modern Connie,
I would take it that she would be the prototype for the so-called shell people, as opposed
that
to the rock people of the past. You know, the human race was originally divided into blondes, which were the shell people, and brunettes, the rock, the more savage, brutal rock people.
Well, that's it then.
The Hammer film, 1 million years BC, depicted this early human culture.
That's right.
And in those days, it was the reverse. The blondes were the slaves.
Yes.
And sacrificed to the sun god. These were all Caucasians.
Raquel Welch should be blonde or brunette.
Right, since she was naturally a brunette.
Yeah. And of course, being a. Mexican goddess. They kept with the Latino flavor and made the right decision, of course, as we all know. I used to collect the police gazettes that had her on the cover, and I'm sorry if my voice trembles a little.
Sure, well, she was on my dorm room at University of Dobbs.
On your what?
On my dorm room closet door.
Right.
My roommate put her there.
Yep. And why not?
But
this
I had
a caveman.
Well, I kissed Connie Dobbs.
But nothing like, also, you know, even better.
You kissed Connie? I kissed Connie Dobbs.
Of Sheena.
Right below the knee.
It's all about Sheena. But, and, of course, China and, you know.
But not...
But Sheena.
Was
6 feet blonde, 60s TV star, Sheena,
Jungle Sheena?
Yes, Sheena the Jungle Queen, who not only was a 6 foot gorgeous blonde blue-eyed babe, but was a brilliant painter, or a painter, I don't know if she was brilliant, but she was a painter who could make a living selling her paintings. And that's what she did after she retired from the Sheen of the Jungle Woman show.
How many of her paintings do you actually own in your museum
I don't have
now?
Paintings by her. I have more works of her that have been painted by the great photographers.
You know, speaking of famous paintings, I could have... There's a framed portrait of Bob in the Vreede's bathroom that purports to be drawn by the murderer John Wayne Gacy.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
I personally think that one is a fraud. I don't think that's
well,
an original.
He doesn't
Gacy
claim it's the
Dobbs
original.
Head. Oh, good.
Does
well,
because
he tried to claim it to me.
Good God!
He claims that Gacy did multiple Dobbs heads,
really?
As well as multiple young victims. But
wow.
My understanding is that the one true Gacy drawn Dobbs head is in Japan.
Oh, what?
It was auctioned for millions of dollars.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, a Dobbs head drawn by a famous serial killer.
Wow. Which, a Japanese one? Or just a Gacy? You mean the Gacy
John
one is
Wayne
in Japan?
Gacy. John Wayne Gacy, the
wow.
The clown-faced murderer of
yeah.
children.
Yeah. When a clown's, well, that's just a...
He would draw pictures. You know, he was an artist, and he, from prison, made money by selling his art. And you could commission art. Somebody sent him a Dobbs head and had him draw one. And that later, you know, since he had been a horrible man and a killer of innocence, his art was worth a lot more than, say, that of Gary Gabrogue friend.
That's right, a normal sub-genius.
A hard-working, you know, skilled artist.
He's
only killed three or four children, and they weren't even human children.
Little Paul cried.
You mean little mutated...
It was legal then.
Well, that's really horrible.
Jeff, let's come over you. We've got to leave.
Mutated like pieces of humans?
37, 38, 39, 40. Okay, we're all in line now. So, where are we going to march to?
Is it that march thing again?
It's that march thing we have to do now.
What did we do? Where did we march to last year? We marched up to the Temple of the Pipe last year, right?
The fire drill.
Was that 2000? Ultimately.
And cover.
I'm in love.
Duck and cover.
And we marched to the execution chamber last year.
Did
I do this myself?
See, do you want to march to the tennis courts this year?
And made a deal.
We're going to have a subgenius march on tennis courts. Is that what's happening?
None of
the tennis list. Court oath of the Church of the Subgenius.
Thank God
tennis should be outlawed in America.
Tennis shoe oath. Yes. No. That's
not
the only
shoes.
Stupid sport that,
stupid.
That you're any good at?
Yeah.
You're the only sport. That's the only sport you're any good at?
Yeah.
Okay, so we should keep tennis there. Let's get rid of soccer.
I realize it's all about sex, you know, anyway. But and. You don't. I don't know what happened to all the great attempts at a women's wrestling league went. But
did you see when Sexual Chocolate in May got it on and produced a baby, and she was like 84?
Oh no! No.
That's good plot, man. He's hiding out.
You mean?
Well, how about that? What do you think about?
Puzzling evidence. Where did he get
that?
I don't know. Well, he doesn't hear about the show anymore. That's right. Well, okay. But, you know, then there was Smith. Remember in the 70s? Kelly Smith. She was like 6'2". She was 80. She was 10. Well, this was before American Gladiators, which also died out. What
that
happened to American
game,
Gladiators?
Right? You like that
they
game?
They killed
right?
each Tanya. Other off.
It's all about Tanya Knight, who was.
They died. It was that was such
believe,
a.
They all died, but from the steroids killed them.
She was ice.
Or there, and they some they of them, you know, there were a lot of accidents on camera.
To cultural, you know, sexual taste.
Between the accidents and the steroids, they died.
Yeah, they all died off. The American Gladiators.
Died off. No,
that's what happens to real gladiators.
No, I don't know. But they're not hip now. Now it's fitness contests.
Where'd you get that shirt, man? That shirt is really, really cute.
MDC, this is where it's at.
We're not still on the air. There's no way this is being broadcast on.
No, there's no way.
You guys are like just giving away all the real secrets.
31 minutes ago.
No, we're not on the air anymore.
31 minutes
we went off.
Ago.
Oh, 48 minutes
so,
ago.
Bud,
oh,
we what, did, what's
really,
happening?
Yeah.
What's next on
it's
the
it's like
agenda,
almost
bud?
6 now, huh?
Yeah, wasn't there a script?
Yes, would you like to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear the script.
The threat?
First hour, introduction to Gates, subgenius panel, the next 100 years. I think we covered that. Pretty well.
Yeah, we covered the next one.
I think if
years.
Anyone was listening during the first hour, they certainly know what the next 100 years has
it's
in store.
Be, right.
Or if the store is closed, what to do. Second hour, awards dinner.
Still full, man. I'm stuffed from that dinner.
The next 100 years awards, those were all handed out, right?
Yeah,
I
got my award.
I announced
everybody
some awards,
got,
but they
no,
were
there were only two
out.
Awards
and
given, Philo and
Wellness.
I didn't give any, but I announced some.
Okay, cool.
Oh, you didn't get an award.
Well, I announced 12 awards and got
wow,
one.
Wow, you look really wow.
Now, the third hour, as you remember.
Well. I got nothing.
You announced 6 awards and got none.
The third hour, as you remember, was the musical jam.
Yeah, we had the musical jam.
Yeah, that was the band whose name that we
won't talk about.
Dare not mention
it because nobody can remember the band's
name. Nobody can remember band's name.
Fourth Hour, Church Reformed.
Church Reformed.
Well, I think it's pretty much reformed, don't
we
you?
Have, is that we the have fourth definitely thing? Reformed. We've forgiven
what?
Ourselves as we know our people have
the
forgiven.
The Fifth Hour, which is
name
the one we're in.
Thing
we don't need
to.
We don't
talking now?
The Fifth Hour is the one we're in right now. Open mics.
You know, it's like.
Open mics.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, it's a laboratory.
Yeah, make the most of it.
Open mics, let's quit.
No more rigid programming. No more structure.
That's going to be like a subgenius.
Yeah, make the most of this open mic. Free. You can say anything you want. Talk about anything you like. That's right.
It's like a Bobby Oakey.
It's going to be like a rock and roll party now. It's a real subgenius beach party now that we've thrown away the script.
I thought the corruption at the top part was swept under the rug. But apart from that,
that was
very useful.
That did go by very quickly.
Yes.
Maybe we could plan on the next.
I mean, how does Stang make all that money?
Right. And where
when
is it?
When we get to the next 100 years,
where
we'll discuss how Stang makes his money.
You saw his limo.
Thank
you.
I saw the limo I was in.
We know
in.
How
the
he spends it. Now we want to know. There he is now.
Yeah. Off of this.
It's not,
looking for food.
It's not how much money we get. It's how we spend it.
From this flimsy, cheap-ass church with nothing to its name.
We
have this executive director who's like rolling in powdered sugar.
But it's how we spend it.
Well, and here you are. I've got out of Newcastle for you tonight.
The things we enjoy the most.
Yeah, like cameras.
Well, actually, I haven't been to, I guess it's called.
Because we know that's what you
Toys
would want.
Toys in Babeland.
From us, your
that's
hierarchy.
The girls, I think.
Where's Puzzling Evidence anyway, my co-host?
Puzzling Evidence
again,
is
the man that shot Bob
taking a break right
shot.
Now.
I know
you're like, head to the bathroom or something. I think you need like a potty break or something.
4:30. In the morning.
Oh, I get you. Like cold.
Away. Let's see. Well, he's AWOL, man. Puzzling Evidence is AWOL.
He is a wall.
He's a wall.
He's talking to him. It's just like talking to him.
What does it mean? Absent without official leave or something like that? Is that what it is?
That's right. Absent without official leave.
Yeah.
You can get the break for that.
Plug the station, man. Don't ever do that again. Don't ever do that again. Northern California is blacking the power service when we plug the station next week.
If you don't have any lights in your building anymore.
Don't say folks, we're off the air.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, now's the
no,
time.
No, there are no folks anymore.
Yeah, we about lasted a long
time.
That's right.
We've
taken those callers.
This last 30 minutes is just for us.
We
just
will continue the.
No callers dare
we
call.
We scared
up.
All the callers.
The broadcast here from SoFi.com.
They don't dare show up.
What we're doing now is we're taping.
No listeners left.
Taping the entire proceedings.
No one
and we'll play the rest of the.
Or anywhere else.
The rest of the retreat
they
next week.
They said it couldn't be done. They said it shouldn't be done.
Even look, there is a.
We hope you enjoyed it.
At some
4
point in the third hour,
we were forced
the
off
hour
the air.
Slack
was
by the wasn't that voted in to turn into the hour of
you'll
slack.
Be hearing this announcement next week. It's on tape now. We're going to continue covering this retreat no matter what the police say, no matter what they do.
Right. No matter how big the barricade or the fire gets.
And they can shut us off the air, but they're not going to get us out of sulfur ponds.
I'm sorry we forgot that. We couldn't answer that call as you came in a minute ago. Because we were in the middle of our routine.
I saw no caller.
I'm leaving him off. Until
you saw no caller. We know there's at least one listener left out there. But after the 5-hour show, we have beat them up so bad. They're in such poor shape.
You're my sweetie.
Wait.
You guys put Princess Sweet
until 5 o'clock.
The poor caller.
Oh, he's taking it down the
okay.
it down the home court.
Take the caller in.
You are
let,
my
let the caller.
All right, okay.
Bring the caller in.
All right, and then we're going to have...
bring the caller in.
We're going to have...
the 8th one.
Seems like I'm the only one on now.
You're the only caller. You're the only listener left. How do you feel getting all the power of this radio station into your head?
I feel pretty good. Pretty good indeed.
Should be like at least 2 or 3 inches off your bed right now. The sheets should be hovering in the air.
Oh, yeah, something's happening.
Well,
man.
We've got a lot of time to go.
We're out of gas right now.
Yeah.
Doug is packing up his
presents.
It's amazing
what the show can do. Look, there's another listener. You should be.
Wait.
All right, another listener.
Now, first listener, you should be feeling your power starting to diminish slightly.
Yeah, I understand. You know Bob Dobbs for
well,
he was, huh?
Okay, we.
I know.
He laughed.
Well, the second listener couldn't take the power drain.
What a little wussy.
The second listener couldn't take the power surge.
I was the sole survivor in the Battle of Dobbstown. Also known as Bob's
Last Stand. Can't hang on.
It's 25 of the show's going to be over soon.
Yeah, it's going to take us months and weeks and years to pack up. We've got so much crap laid out here.
You know what this means for the new world, the so-called Western Hemisphere?
Okay. And would you go to the hospital?
Yes. For you? Yes.
You need to go to the hospital. That wound on your face is starting to fester.
Yes. Well, that's actually Farsi bug.
Is that a wound or is that...
It's a form of infection.
Oh, that's
glanders.
His nose. I see.
Farsi I thought his face was on
the
fire.
Giant red
and how about that jacket? That, I like that jacket. That's kind of like that velveteen, crushed
velveteen,
velvet.
Velveteen.
I'm sorry for everything.
Austin Powers.
You are? Well, I'm glad somebody is.
No, I just got that.
Philo, you're just sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm just so sorry.
A flavor that was the
you know, I woke up this morning and I looked out and I just said, I am just
sorry.
You
didn't have that flavor in the ladies at the Rite Aid.
I'm sorry about you. I'm sorry about me.
I'm sorry. You brought it up. Let me tell you something.
I'm sorry. I got up and went.
I went looking for Black Void, and this actually is called Nashville.
I found sorry.
The show.
Well, I know that we've got our operatives out and they're investigating the show.
All right, I need
you're on that other show now.
Flip flopping like it has tonight. Look, we got three callers now.
Now we have all the. They want to know where I'm going. I'm going to the balcony.
We don't care where he's going. He's going to the balcony. Yeah, you made your choice. Get off.
We don't need formats.
It doesn't matter.
Does not.
It's all connected.
Doesn't
you don't
matter?
Think it's connected?
Yes, it does. And
sports. And yet, it's all a choice.
Out on the,
yeah, am I alone out here?
No. Are you on the balcony?
Shucks. You ain't allowed to cut. What the heck? I'm alone on this deck. I wonder why. There ain't no reason why. I just sit back, get up. Should I eat? Nah, go back to sleep.
Yes, the caller. You pretty much have no choice now. You might as well just pull the trigger. The show's almost over.
Someone with me.
No, no one's with you. You're alone, bitter, cold, sitting on a little park bench.
No prospects.
No prospects. Except that one cartridge in the old 1872 flintlock.
Uh-huh.
And it would just feel great to relax and forget it all. Turn on the A-track. Listen to early Subgenius tapes.
Back in the day.
Or an early Negative Land CD. You know, they don't have E.
Yeah, you got that one along.
I don't know. I speak. I get reverb. You speak. We get reverb.
Yes.
Track. Was it good?
For all of you, too. He's doing his own little band now. It's the show.
Wait, you missed that back. Go back. You missed that one line.
Okay, hold on. Here we go.
How's that? Moon dog. Where are you, moon dog? Soon it will be first light, and it will come and wash away all the
agony and the torment, this torture and the evidence.
Fun question, Alan. Listen, Wesson pointed to your forehead. You think about why.
The show pointed at your forehead.
Get bored and drink a beer or something. And then you might watch some TV or listen to a show.
Exactly.
Or you might go in the bathroom and do whatever
you want. Yeah, whatever.
And then you put that gun back to your head and you question reality.
Again.
Like we all do.
Again.
It's pretty funny, though. Questioning reality.
When we get to the end of these 100 years, we'll have to talk about the next one.
Caller, are you there?
I'm right here.
Right on.
Questioning reality with a gun to your head.
See, he's doing the voice of Joyride,
like
the truck driver on the CB radio.
Mind, I said, in which I live, in which I die. Ultimately, I think about these things, like third grade marshal or something or other.
Yeah, I mean, people whine about peace, and the only, and to be truthful, the only way we'll be able to get peace is if everybody dies on third man.
Well, that just depends on your definition of peace.
War, bigotry, racism.
Just remember that war is the natural state of man, and peace is the aberration.
We're evil. We're some kind of sick joke, but we live our life and we aspire. We're all born with an expiration date. But I guess what you do in life, whatever, you know.
That's it. I don't even think you need to guess it. You got a light on the button.
Yeah.
So we build these connections and we burn bridges. What do we do? Like some people say, like you have to control by fear. Some people say it's all about experience. If you choose a path of light, love, positive, maybe we can be strong. And, like,
17 minutes.
I mean, 17
minutes.
Path, you know? No one else
madness
for you. You make your own points in life, and by what you do is what you do.
We were accused of paying too much.
I've been paying too
That's
much
why
for
I called
so long.
The deal from hell that became a hell of a deal. We were billions ahead, and by the way, we got Paramount, the studio, the television operation, the library for nothing.
So what happened to those sub guys? I guess they died off, right?
Dr. Drummond, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You're still at the rest of us are at the party.
Oh, okay. Well, I
what are you guys doing over there? Are you you're still at the station?
Yeah, I'm still here at the station.
You're not still on the air, are you?
I guess so. I don't know.
The show ended like an hour ago.
Turn the radio on and see if you hear me, okay?
Madness.
Go turn the radio on.
You're imagining things.
And see if you hear me, all right?
It was.
That's pointless, man. You're not on the radio.
Madness.
Go try it out. Just humor me.
In that you had so little time.
Hello. Testing. 1, 2. Am I on the radio?
Unless it's a win-win, you both lose.
Please call me down and tell me if I'm on the radio.
Dr. Drummond, look, why don't you just come on down to the party?
What party?
God.
Oh, the party.
What?
The party. Oh, the party. Okay.
He is totally fried. It's so sad. I remember.
He had too much show.
He was a really, yeah.
He had too much show tonight, I'm afraid.
He used to be able to do hours and hours.
His five-hour shows will whip you up.
Now, look at him.
It's just sad.
Yeah.
He's burned out.
Little 4.5 hours, and he's, like, babbling into the microphone. Nobody's listening.
He's whipped out.
No, Drummond's a burnout.
Bleeding.
I know, yeah.
He's just burnt out.
Make way for the new generation. Cut the dead.
Yeah, why don't these guys, like, get out of the way? Like,
you know, like,
let us young people take
over. Yeah, like, you know, like,
I'd like to,
ideas.
Yeah, but they won't step down.
The old entrenched, you know, the way it was, the way it's going to be crowd.
Oh, you have to wait for somebody to die, man.
And look at the clothes they wear. Is that
oh, God.
Oh, man.
Doggone little kids.
And look at they listen
baby
to
baby girl.
Hey, man. I hope I die before I get old.
Yeah.
I give the church
man, I'm not
going to
leave that old man. If I do, man, kill me, man.
Dodgy old man.
Oh.
any negative consequences.
You got a deal, dude.
Okay, you do it for me, man. I'll do it for you.
No, no, I'll just do it for you.
So what's going on down there at the party?
That's good enough.
Let's go kill Drummond, man.
What's going on at the party down there, boys? Hey, boys.
What?
Young boys.
Yes?
You youthful young geniuses.
Yeah, well, we're like...
What's going on at the party?
We're moshing in the pit with some naked chicks, man.
Oh, you are? Yeah, do you have the, like, the wrestling, the mud wrestling and the... Yeah, I mean, the Mazzola oil.
You gotta
oil
have
and
tight abs, though. And
if I wanted to accept that premise, you know? I would see a lot of negative implications.
I pledge allegiance to the illusion, to the pyramid scheme for which
so
it stands.
So you're pledging the allegiance with?
Underinformed, with error and excess by all. Everybody up.
By the Dobbs early lives.
You used to be able to do that like for hours, man.
It catches all this little horn.
Are you getting old,
my waddle?
Hey, man, are you getting old?
Yeah, my finger catches. See, I can't get
negative implications.
And it catches.
We're
going
to waddle on down to the show.
On that old horn.
All done.
Because really, folks, we were just kidding when we said the show ended an hour ago.
Entertainment. Media companies don't dominate anybody.
It's actually still going on. Now.
Yeah, but I bet it. No, it's ending now, but it can end for another 15 or 20 minutes.
It's probably going to end for about another
14
minutes. 14 minutes.
Well, I could then chop that up and make endings for 14 different hours of slack.
Okay, let's do it. Let's start doing endings right now. Okay, here's the first ending. Okay,
has a little bit of life left.
Praise Bob. You have been listening to Subgenius Radio Ministry Hour of Slack. Here in the city of... Actually, well, that does it. We really don't need to do
anything. Yeah, we're done. Yeah, just loop that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah, just fill in.
Okay, we can go home now. Everybody pack up.
Hello. Prince Michael Pepe is trying to speak.
You have stopped talking too early. No, there is much time, even only 13 minutes.
We Americans are doing
better
every day.
Contra Costa County.
The glories of the church, if that is what we want.
And the home.
What the question is, what have we left the people with? I think it's unity. It's no question.
Fraternity.
Hey, Michael Pepe.
Sorority.
Yet diversity.
Oh, yeah, diversity. Right.
You need to go to the hospital.
Slack.
Today we took a giant step.
Yes. Only now, though.
I think
we should decide some specific things. Number one. Okay. First of all.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I think first of all we should decide that there should be another one.
What?
Like this. Another thing like this. It doesn't necessarily have to only be annual.
Oh, you mean another 5-hour show? Are you kidding?
That there should be tapes made for participants to look over and study
and buy.
It really is amazing to me that we established that great itinerary and script and we followed it to a T.
Sure, okay.
I think we agreed that there should be more presence at Burning Man.
And T-shirts.
Not one jot or tittle was missing.
T-shirts? Oh, come on.
That's a new thing. You can't put it on the agenda.
That's not new.
It's already R12.
It's common currency in our culture.
Neither a jot nor a tittle. Was
that's
missing.
Your goal. You go with that. All I'm saying is...
They provide entertainment, which the consumer has a right to accept or reject.
And
that's right. And that's what our main
an open invitation.
Is.
Uncle Chewy, do you even know what the cloud is?
Of course. It's where you keep pictures of cats and your taxes.
That's not... Okay, what about algorithms?
Are those the fancy moves the kids are doing on TikTok?
Wow, we are so doomed.
Hold on now, we don't need any of that stuff, because we've got KPFA.
KPFA?
Yep, it's on the radio. You just turn the dial and boom. Real news, real music, real conversations. No downloads, no passwords, and no spinning wheels.
Even you can handle that.
Exactly. KPFA, where simplicity meets brilliance.
And it's listener supported, so it's all about community.
KPFA, 94.1 FM. No cloud, no algorithms, just great radio.
C
celebrated troubadour and musical healer Francisco Herrera in concert with family and friends. The theme for the evening, Migration Strengthens the Nation. Herrera and friends celebrate the power of song to heal and support social change, harnessing our strength through music and story. This event will take place Saturday, June 21st, 7 p.m., Herbst Theater, San Francisco. Joining Francisco in celebration and song is Dr. Loco, Liliana and Rafael Herrera, Camilo Landau, Isla Devila, Chris Trinidad, Pedro Gomez, and more. This wheelchair-accessible event is a benefit for Caminante Cultural Foundation Bail and Support Fund. For more information, visit concert.franciscoherreramusic.com.
It is a time to begin again, and that is why I run for president, and that is why I ask for your help. As we stand here today, brave young men are fighting across the ocean. Which of them might have written a great symphony? Which of them might have cured cancer? Which of them might have played in a World Series or brought laughter to all of us from a stage? Which of them might have built a bridge or a university? Which of them might have taught a small child? Which of them would have given something that is irreplaceable to the United States? I believe that it is our responsibility to make sure that those men live, and it is on that basis that I run for president of the United States.
The violence, the disenchantment with our society, the divisions, whether it's between blacks and whites, between the poor and the more affluent, or between age groups, or on the war in Vietnam, that we can start to work together. We are a great country, and a selfish country, and a compassionate country. And I intend to make that my basis for running. I think all of these primaries have indicated, if I could just take a minute or 2 minutes more. But all of these primaries have indicated, and all of the party caucuses have indicated, whether they occurred in Colorado or Idaho or Iowa, wherever they occurred, it was the people in the Democratic Party and the people in the United States want a change. And that change can come about only if those who are delegates in Chicago recognize the importance of what has happened here in the state of California, what has happened in South Dakota, what happened in New Hampshire, what happened across the rest of this country. The country wants to move in a different direction. We want to deal with our own problems within our own country, and we want peace in Vietnam. Yeah. What we're going to do in the rural areas of our country, what we're going to do for those who still suffer within the United States from hunger, what we're going to do around the rest of the globe, and whether we're going to continue the policies that have been so unsuccessful in Vietnam of American troops and American Marines carrying the major burden of that conflict. I do not want to, and I think we can move in a different direction. Mayor Yorty has just sent me a message that we've been here too long already. Thanks to all of you, and it's on to Chicago, and let's win.
Mr. Humphreys, in his background in you, as far as the delegate votes go,
we'll just go with Dr. Stubbins.
been shot. They think Kennedy has been shot. It appeared to be gunshot. Came from inside a little room here. It seems like Robert Kennedy has been shot. In a little room off to the side. As near the senator, I heard gunshot. We heard what appeared to be gunshot coming from inside this room in here. It was mass chaos. You heard it as it happened. I'm talking to Don Shulman. Don, can you give us a halfway detailed report on what happened within all this chaos?
Okay, I was standing behind Kennedy as he was taking his assigned route into the kitchen. A Caucasian gentleman stepped out and fired, hit Kennedy all three times. So Kennedy slumped to the floor and the security guard fired back. Before they could get him, he shot it looked like to me he shot a woman and he shot two other men. They then proceeded to carry Kennedy into the kitchen, and I don't know how his condition is now.
Well, from what you saw, Don, was he grazed, or did it appear to be a direct hit? Was it very serious from what you saw?
Well, from what I saw, it looked fairly serious. He was definitely hit three times. Thing happened so quickly that there was another eyewitness standing next to me, and she is in shock now and very fuzzy, as I am, because it happened so quickly.
I saw this man go in the back. He started running back, and I saw, and I heard he's been shot. That's all I heard. It was a young person. That's all I saw. So run back. I just saw somebody run back, and then I heard somebody say he's been shot, and that's all I heard. I saw this man run back there. Everybody started. Nobody said.
A bunch of people ran over there. He's been shot.
I saw this man run in. Everybody started running after him and said he's been shot. And I said,
The police didn't question him. He was taken away immediately.
Ladies and gentlemen.
No. One policeman asked my question. Yes.
There is no one left in the Ambassador Hotel for you to see. People are gone. News stories are gone. Excitement is gone. And it's time for you to go home.
So let's clear it out. About that too.
Did you see the man who shot?
Yes, sir, I did. He was short, about short man, young man, not older than 25, the most, dark complexion, Latin American look. He was wearing blue.
You said it was a blue waistcoat.
Blue waistcoat, blue tennis, and jeans. Right.
Did the man have any mustache or any disease?
No mustache, nothing. He had bushy hair. He was crazy. Right as they were leading for the elevator.
Which elevator is that? Out in the hallway?
The kitchen elevator.
Did the man say anything when he
No, nothing. Shot? I believe someone was twisting his foot, so he couldn't say anything. He better not say anything.
Was he
Oh, yes.
Was he shot out at all or not?
The man? No.
Leroy Medley.
Did a lot of people...
He shot with a handgun.
How many shots were there?
It was a small gun. Four or five shots.
Does anybody know Leroy?
I believe it wasn't more than a .22, or it was a small gun.
Where did he come from?
He must have been waiting there. He had to be waiting.
I saw him when he fell. I saw the individual.
How did he fall? On his back, his stomach?
Well, he was laying on his back when I got to him.
You know how many shots were fired?
There were approximately 5 to 6 shots. It was a six-shot revolver, small caliber. From examining the weapon, I would assume that it was a .22.
Mm-hmm. And how many times was the senator shot, or weren't you able to tell?
He was shot more than once. I can almost assure you of that.
Lying on the floor. Did you hear him say anything at all?
His wife came to his side and she said something to him. However, I don't know whether he responded. Other than that, he was very quiet. He was very unemotional. He just laid there.
He was conscious in pain.
He was conscious when he left.
Did you see anyone else shot?
I saw someone else.
The woman who was shot?
No.
Was there a woman the suspect?
Shot? There was someone else shot. I did not look at the person shot because I looked to see Senator Kennedy.
What did the person look like? Was it a man or a woman who shot him?
I really cannot tell you. I didn't take notice. I was looking for the senator. I'm a Catholic.
Do you know how many people were shot?
A little sanctimony, I guess, but I wanted to get...
Sir, do you know how many people were shot?
Everybody. I don't... think more than two were shot. I don't know about the one who did the shooting. All I know, they had him up on some bins.
It was a him. It was a he, right?
I saw curly hair, yes, and it was a male.
It was the woman.
Male curly hair.
I don't know about
was
anyone.
It blonde hair, black hair?
Hey, I don't. I just did what I could do.
I'm very grateful to be here. And I thank you for your support. This is going to be a long and a difficult campaign. But what happens here in the state of California is going to be key to what happens across the rest of the country. So I come here to the state of California to ask for your help.
Well, near the end of Senator Kennedy's victory speech, I was standing in the embassy room, and I moved over towards the kitchen, and I waited for him at the kitchen doors. And finally, when he came, we walked through the doors together. I took a couple steps, and I said, "Senator Kennedy." He didn't hear me. He was moving very briskly. And so I said it again louder, and he heard me this time. And he turned around to his right, and I handed him 17 8x10 pictures of him in a manila envelope. I watched him for a second, but I turned around to leave. I walked for 5 seconds, and I heard three bangs. And I saw this man falling backwards, and I recognized him from being on the stage, but I didn't know there was Paul Schrade. It looked like blood was spewing in the air, and as soon as he had cleared the way, I saw on the ground, or just falling to the ground, Senator Kennedy, and blood was already oozing out of his head, and it was going over the floor. It was horrible.
When Sirhan fired, he was quite a distance from him, and he was grabbed by Roosevelt Greer and others. Well, I did have blood stains on my jacket in a few places, and those were from some of the people who were shot.
We had a mind to, it was my order I had to bring him down to the Ambassador Ballroom, which is the next floor down, and that was behind the stage to the left. When we came from the stage and we were making the left, somebody stopped us and said, talk to Senator Kennedy. And then somebody told me, no, we're going to go to the press room, which is to the right instead of to the left. And this is the way towards the pantry.
When Kennedy had finished his speech and the whole happenings and was descending the area, he was going towards one area, which towards the east way, and the some men, including Rosie Greer, I think, directed him another way. In other words, Kennedy thought he was going out one exit, and the other people directed him another way. People were out of their minds. They were blowing their minds because of what had happened. I mean, because they had assumed that they had grabbed the guy who killed Kennedy. And there were guys and girls shouting, "Kill him, kill him." And they were literally trying to break this police chain around him to get at him. And I yelled at everybody to calm down and please, for God's sakes, don't let another Oswald incident happen here. And in other words, I was bawling these people out for reacting this way. For God forbid, if someone was to kill, who might have been, you know, the murderer.
Well, before his speech was finished, I tried to move out because I wanted to get out of the way of the crowd. So I moved toward the exit, the kitchen exit, because I knew he was going out that way, because that's how he came in. So I figured, well, I could catch him and maybe get some pictures. So I moved back over that way, and I stood up on a bar arrangement they had. They were serving drinks and everything. So I stood up there, and as he came back to the door to leave, I started taking pictures and then started moving in, following
him
in.
Well, at the time the bullets went off, I wasn't exactly sure what was happening. It sounded like firecrackers, yet it sounded like balloons. I didn't realize that we were being shot at till about the third or fourth bullet went off. At that time, I began to hear people screaming, yelling, people yelling, "Oh my God, no." I felt a little draft on my leg. I figured it was a bullet, and I said to myself, "My God, am I lucky?" And then a second later, another bullet hit me, and I managed to get over to a chair. There was blood all over. I asked a question, "How is the senator?" And this lady came up to me and said, "How dare you talk about my husband this way?" And she slapped me across the face. And I just shrugged it off, you know, emotional people at the time. But then she came back and she said, "I'm sorry, honey." And she kissed me. And I think this was a very brave thing on her part. to actually come back after she saw what happened to her husband?
I was on the stage with the senator. Right at the end of his speech, he turned around and walked back through the curtains and walked into the kitchen. I followed him about six or seven heads behind, and as I got down the hallway, I heard approximately six or seven what appeared to be balloon popping sounds or cracking noises, and all of a sudden the people fiercely pushed me back and pushed me to the floor along with many other people, yelling, "There's a madman loose. Kennedy has been shot." It was something which was really appeared to me to be just the most mass amount of confusion I've ever been subjected to. People running everywhere. People had cocktail glasses in their hands, which were dropped and resulted in glass all over the floor. And many people were cut up and bleeding from the glass. The first thing I saw after I heard these, or while I was hearing these noises, is I saw the senator fall back toward where I was, and I saw Rafer Johnson lunge towards something, which I found out later was the suspect, Sirhan.
All the phrases which have meant so much to Americans, peace and progress, justice and compassion, leadership and idealism, often sound not like the stirring reminders of our nation or history, but call forth the cynical laughter of hostility of our young people and many of our older people as well. Not because they do not believe in these principles, not because they do not believe in these terms, but because they do not think that our leaders mean them when they use them.
Doors of the Colonial Room swung open with several Los Angeles police with shotguns in their hands guarding two or three plainclothesmen who were holding on to this young guy wearing a light blue jacket, light pants, tennis shoes, light pants, and he was dark, black, curly hair.
We have no evidence of a conspiracy, only the evidence of this individual action, but every lead will be followed, no stone will be left unturned to uncover all evidence that will show every involvement in the commission of the
crime. As near as we can tell, there was only one person, and this information has been gleaned from dozens of interviews from people who were present at the scene.
Right after the shooting, on the police radio, they indicated they were looking for a suspect around the Ambassador Hotel. Was he for questioning, or was he a suspect in the shooting?
What happened immediately following the shooting was that there was great pandemonium, and we didn't know, and it was reported at one time that there were as many as three suspects, but as our investigators pieced it back together, they're reasonably sure at this time that there was just one single suspect, and the one being searched around the Ambassador Hotel, the want for him has been canceled.
Our lives on this planet are too short. The work to be done is too great to let this spirit flourish any longer in this land of ours. Of course, we cannot banish it with a program, nor with a resolution. But we can perhaps remember, if only for a time, that those who live with us are our brothers, that they share with us the same short moment of life, that they seek, as do we, nothing but the chance to live out their lives in purpose and in happiness, winning what satisfaction and fulfillment that they can. Surely this bond of common fate, surely this bond of common goals can begin to teach us something. Surely we can learn at the least to look around at those of us, of our fellow men. And surely we can begin to work a little harder to bind up the wounds among us and to become in our hearts brothers and countrymen once again. Tennyson wrote in Ulysses, "That which we are, one equal temper
of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will, to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield. Thank you very much.
I come to the state of California because our great nation is troubled and divided. Divided by a war 10,000 miles from our shores, troubled by the decay and the despair in our great cities, our young people divided from our older people, our black people divided from our white population. We were the country that stood for decency and for justice, for confidence and for hope. But now, sometimes it seems, we have something else. And I think that should be changed. And that's why I run for President of the United States. And if there is one overriding reality in this country, it is that we must resist any erosion of a sense of national decency. Make no mistake, decency is at the heart of this whole campaign, is at the heart of this matter. Poverty is indecent. Illiteracy is indecent. The death, the maiming of brave young men in the swamps of Vietnam and the swamps of Asia, that is also indecent.
I think that as an eyewitness to the assassination and one who was very involved throughout the evening, it's very interesting to note that I was not subpoenaed as a witness to the trial. However, I can say I did not expect to be subpoenaed as a witness. I felt this way simply because I felt that the police department was only interested in witnesses that they could either discredit or witnesses that they could fabricate a story and read to people who would then probably parrot what they wished it to be. I find that those people who contradicted with their accounts of the story and what they wanted to present to the general public were not called in. In fact, just yesterday I talked to my good friend Arthur Bud Schoberg, who was not subpoenaed. I was very unhappy with my encounter with the police department when I went down to the administration building where they had mock-ups and supposedly placed people in certain positions. I was very much struck by their desire to fabricate a story and by their effort to strong-arm me mentally into stating that there were things that I did not agree with.
What I did see that night, I did see. The confusion in my mind came later, when people from different sources told me, no, I didn't see it. When Sirhan fired, he was quite a distance from him. A rough guess, 6 to 10 feet. The Los Angeles Police Department never did interview.
The Senator Robert F. Kennedy had three gunshot wounds. Gunshot wound number one was a gunshot wound in the back of the head, which is the gunshot wound in the right mastoid behind the right ear. Gunshot wound number two and three were found in the right axilla. Those two were so close that they were within 1 inch in the distance. We were able to determine the muzzle distance based on this, the powder deposit in the right ear and the powder deposit in the scalp behind the ear. That powder was embedded so deeply so that it did not come off. 1 inch and no more than 3 inches distance from the surface of the right ear. Gunshot wound number two and three were also sure a characteristic close-range shooting. Questions that perhaps that could be asked was not asked. I did not testify and I was not asked. Maybe more story to be told than that we know.
We glorify killing on movie and television screens, and we call it entertainment. We'd make it easier for men of all shades of sanity to acquire weapons and ammunition that they desire. Too often we honor swagger and bluster and the wielders of force. Too often we excuse those who are willing to build their own lives on the shattered dreams of other human beings. Some Americans who preach nonviolence abroad fail to practice it here at home. Some accuse others of rioting and inciting riots, have by their own conduct invited them. Some look for scapegoats. Others look for conspiracies. But this much is clear. Violence breeds violence. Repression breeds retaliation. And only a cleansing of our whole society can remove this sickness from our souls.
There was a press room, that's what it's called, and I was walking in there, and there was a bag full of passes. This is embassy room passes. So I walked into there, and I put my hand in there, and I took about eight of them. And then I went out, you know, eight or seven or six, and then I gave them all to my friends. You know, I gave them to a guy named Brent Gold, Scott Inyart, him. And during the night when we were there, I took persons to the kitchen, you know, to the kitchen of the Ambassador Hotel, like maybe a half hour before the assassination. Security was really bad, lousy. Anybody could got
it. We arrived at the embassy at 8:30. Security said only people with press passes and with official yellow badges that I think that said embassy on it. And if one didn't have this badge or a press identification, they weren't allowed. And I did witness a press man showing his credentials, and he had his wife, and they didn't allow his wife to go in around that time.
I saw a few security guards ahead of the senator in the kitchen. I think there was a security guard to my rear, to the left of my rear, which would have been pretty close to the senator.
I noticed the senator's party had started to come in. He was stopping and shaking hands. And then he was finally up to us, and I said, "Hello, Senator," and this girl who was with me, Robin Caston, shook his hand. The kitchen corridor was not guarded whatsoever.
I noticed the lack of security. There were very, very few security officers. The flow of people in and out of the embassy room was controlled by a fire department captain who was concerned about the possible fire hazard of having too many people in the embassy room.
We ourselves must change in order to master change. We must rethink our old ideas and beliefs before they capture and before they destroy us. For those answers, America must look to its young people, the children of this time of change, and we look especially to that privileged minority of educated men and women who are the students of this country. For the answers we seek must be found in the light of reason, by fact and logic and careful thought, unsustained by violent prejudices or by myths. And those are the answers which your education has equipped you, more than any other group in this country, has equipped you to find. Plato said that if we are to have any hope for the future, that those who have lanterns will pass them on to others. You must use your lamps, the lamps of your learning, to show our people past the forest of stereotypes and slogans into the clear light of reality and of fact and of truth.
I was taking pictures at the time that the shots were being fired, and I was apparently spotted by a guard or some security person who works for the hotel, and I was followed outside, and I was chased, and I didn't know who it was, and I wasn't about to give up my camera. And so they came up to me and they said, "You know, we believe you have evidence in the camera." And they said, and they asked me if I did, and I said, "To my knowledge," I said, "I do have something, you know, on film." So they said, "Well, are you going to release it to us?" So I said, "Well, I'd rather not. It's my film." So, you know, I said, "I'd like to process it." They said, "Well, then we can hold you for withholding evidence unless you release it to us." And I said, "You know, all right." I said, "I'll give you the camera." I said, "Will you let me go?" And they said, "No, we have to hold you for questioning." So they locked me in a room with a few other people till about 3 in the morning. and then I got my camera back. There was no film in the camera when I got it back. They had told me that the film has been confiscated. So when I opened the camera, there's nothing in it.
I saw Sirhan and a lady and another gentleman consistently throughout the evening. I refused to bulge in my belief and knowledge that there was a girl in a black and white some type of dress. I couldn't exactly say it was polka dot involved with Sirhan, and that I myself, upon the shooting, followed a course through the kitchen, through the back, all the way up to the ground level of the ambassador, leading into the parking lot in pursuit of two individuals that I saw flee at the time of the shooting.
I was doing a story for our paper on poverty in the Whittier area, and I came across this woman, and we started discussing the Kennedy assassination. She had taken some girls in this poverty program over to the victory speech that night. However, she also got involved, and she was maybe, as I understood it, 5 or 10 yards from the senator when he was shot. She said she saw this girl with a polka dot dress. She saw a man that looked to her in the photographs like Sirhan. And she said she had seen these people earlier in the evening talking to each other, and she made the remark that the dress wasn't a very good dress. It was
just
cheap.
About the time Kennedy came into the room, there was this girl who was fairly thin, almost scrawny, so she stood out a little bit. She had sort of button-like things on her dress. Now, she wasn't the image of the polka dot dress that I heard of. Polka dot dress that I've heard described as someone in a chic sort of mode polka dot dress. Well, she wasn't chic in any manner. Her dress was simple. It was light in its color. And she did have this polka dot appearance with buttons, and I suppose there might have been designs, you know, splotchy designs on the dress itself. But she didn't look like she was well-dressed for the occasion. She just simply looked slightly out of place.
In the kitchen area, there were three people, a short, dark-complected individual, a tall, dark-complected individual, and a girl. I remember that she had on a polka dot dress. And this is when I noticed one of them was peeping through a door or glass. I believe it was
on the left side. Opposite the colonial room, there's a room called the press room, and it was there my friend and I first spotted Sirhan. There was another young man with him. The other man next to Sirhan was tall and slender, and he definitely, in my opinion, was Latin.
So this is a time of shame and a time of sorrow. It is not a day for politics. I have saved this one opportunity, my only event of today, to speak briefly to you about the mindless menace of violence in America, which again stains our land and every one of our lives. It is not the concern of any one race. The victims of the violence are black and white, rich and poor, young and old, famous and unknown. They are, most important of all, human beings whom other human beings loved and needed. No one, no matter where he lives or what he does, can be certain who next will suffer from some senseless act of bloodshed. And yet it goes on and on and on in this country of ours. Why? What has violence ever accomplished? What has it ever created? No martyr's cause has ever been stilled by an assassin's bullet. No wrongs have ever been righted by riots and civil disorders. A sniper is only a coward, not a hero. And an uncontrolled or uncontrollable mob It's only the voice of madness, not the voice of the people. Whenever any American's life is taken by another American unnecessarily, whether it is done in the name of the law or in defiance of the law, by one man or by a gang, in cold blood or in passion, in an attack of violence or in response to violence, whenever we tear at the fabric of our lives, which another man has painfully and clumsily woven for himself and his children, whenever we do this, then the whole nation is degraded. Among free men, said Abraham Lincoln, there can be no successful appeal from the ballot to the bullet. And those who take such appeal are sure to lose their case and pay the cost.
Abraham took the Jordanian side because he is from Jordan. He was very, very, very strong about his beliefs. I mean, he was unwavering in anything, and especially on this particular
subject.
He was
very hateful against the Jewish people. And he said, now, I cannot forgive, and I like to be like you. I said, now, come with me to my church, and you are going to maybe to learn how to forgive, and so. And more, he could, I like to be like you. So. But he was always here quite rebellious when I gave him an order. Always he was resentful.
I feel very strongly about this, and I was sorry to hear it, and I'm sorry that I knew a boy that would do a thing like that.
He was
that.
A very fine boy. If every boy acted like he acted, it'd be a wonderful world. But now, wait a minute, except during what he did now.
I was entering the Supreme Court, and a young girl came up to me and said, I'm so excited for you. This is terribly exciting. Of course, I'm excited myself. She said, this is the first time I've been in a court either. As I was going in, there were 12 Kennedys in the audience. So if anything got out of hand, we outnumbered the justices. I heard somebody say to one of the guards, it's just like what Roosevelt tried in 1937.
The Los Angeles County Grand Jury is presently hearing testimony and reviewing evidence in the matter of Sharan B. Sharan, accused slayer of Senator Robert F. Kennedy. At the conclusion of their deliberation, as in the custom, the grand jury will proceed to Department 100 of Superior Court and present their findings to the presiding judge of the Master Calendar Criminal Court. In the event a grand jury indictment is returned today, a Superior Court arraignment will be held approximately 45 minutes later at the Los Angeles County Men's Central Jail, 441 Boucher Street. with Judge Arthur L. Alarcon presiding over a special session in Department 100 held in temporary court facilities provided by Sheriff. Upon presentation of proper press credentials at the visitor's lobby of the facility, members of the news media will be escorted to the location of the arraignment. The location of the arraignment site was agreed upon after a conference between the Sheriff Peter J. Pitches, presiding judge of Superior Court Donald R. Wright, Judge Arthur L. Alarcon, and representatives of District Attorney's Office and Public Defender Richard S. Buckley. Saran is being held in the Sheriff's custody at the Infirmary Section of Los Angeles County Men's Central Jail due to injuries sustained during his apprehension. Sheriff Peter J. Pitches stated, it is for this reason, coupled with obvious need for total security, that this arraignment site was selected.
We expect him to get psychiatric treatment and then come under the aegis of the parole board to decide whether he can go out into society without being a menace to our people. In the event that the disease is incurable, well, then we'd expect him to remain in a penitentiary. We do not intend, nor ever have been our intention, to have him roam the streets as a menace to social order and to our society.
I am now convinced that this jury paid little or no attention to our psychiatric testimony.
Sir Hand became angry with both Dr. Diamond and with me and claimed that we were bugging him, as he put it, because he was tired of psychiatrists, and I suspect everyone in the trial also may be tired of psychiatrists.
I think we all justifiably take some pride in the way in which the trial was conducted and the manner in which it was handled. I think everybody who participated, from the investigating officers, the sheriff of Los Angeles County, and everybody did a commendable job on a historic event.
It's a very fine jury. We had lunch together.
Give me the truth in life. What was their reasoning on that, sir? They felt that the life would be a greater punishment than death would.
The defendant didn't have anything to say. He said he wasn't surprised. He said when we told him that we had done the best we could, he said even Jesus Christ couldn't have saved me.
I need not be idealized or enlarged in death beyond what he was in life. To be remembered simply as a good and decent man who saw wrong and tried to right it, saw suffering and tried to heal it, saw war and tried to stop it. Those of us who loved him and who take him to his rest today pray that what he was to us, and what he wished for others, will someday come to pass for all the world. As he said many times in many parts of this nation, to those he touched and who sought to touch him, some men see things as they are and say why. I dream things that never were and say why not.
This is a day of affirmation, a celebration of liberty. We stand here in the name of freedom. At the heart of that Western freedom and democracy is the belief. This is a day of affirmation, a celebration of liberty. We stand here in the name of freedom. At the heart of that Western freedom and democracy is the belief that the individual man, the child of God, is the touchstone of value, and all society, all groups and states exist for that person's benefit. Therefore, the enlargement of liberty for individual human beings must be the supreme goal and the abiding practice of any Western society. The first element of this individual liberty is the freedom of speech, the right to express and communicate ideas, to set oneself apart from the dumb beasts of field and forest, the right to recall governments to their duties and to their obligations, above all, the right to affirm one's membership and allegiance to the body politic, to society, to the men with whom we share our land, our heritage, and our children's future. Hand in hand with freedom of speech goes the power to be heard, to share in the decisions of government which shape men's lives. Everything that makes man's life worthwhile, family, work, education, a place to rear one's children, and a place to rest one's head, all this depends on the decisions of government. All can be swept away by a government which does not heed the demands of its people, and I mean all of its people. Therefore, this essential humanity of man can be protected and preserved only where government must answer, not just to the wealthy, not just to those of a particular religion, not just to those of a particular race, but to all of the people. And even government, by the consent of the governed, as in our own Constitution, must be limited in its power to act against its people, so that there may be no interference with the right to worship, but also no interference with the security of the home. No arbitrary imposition of pains or penalties on an ordinary citizen by officials high or low. No restriction on the freedom of men to seek education or to seek work or opportunity of any kind, so that each man may become all that he is capable of becoming. These were the essential differences between us and Nazi Germany, as they were between Athens and Persia. Many nations have set forth their own definitions and declarations of these principles, and there have often been wide and tragic gaps between promise and performance, ideal and reality. Yet the great ideals have constantly recalled us to our own duties, and with painful slowness, we in the United States have extended and enlarged the meaning and the practice of freedom to all of our people. We have passed laws prohibiting discrimination in education, in employment, in housing. But these laws alone cannot overcome the heritage of centuries of broken families and stunted children and poverty and degradation and pain. So the road toward equality of freedom is not easy, and great cost and danger march alongside all of us. We are committed to peaceful and nonviolent change, and that is important to all to understand, though change is unsettling. Still, even in the turbulence of protest and struggle, is greater hope for the future, as men learn to claim and achieve for themselves the rights formerly petitioned from others. We must recognize the full human equality of all of our people, before God, before the law, and in the councils of government. We must do this not because it is economically advantageous, although it is, not because the laws of God command it, although they do, not because people in other lands wish it so. We must do it for the single and fundamental reason that it is the right thing to do. Some, there is concern that change will submerge the rights of a minority, particularly where that minority is of a different race than that of the majority. We in the United States believe in the protection of minorities. We recognize the contributions that they can make and the leadership that they can provide. And we do not believe that any people, whether majority or minority, or individual human beings, are expendable in the cause of theory or a policy. We recognize also that justice between men and nations is imperfect, and that humanity sometimes progresses very slowly indeed. All do not develop in the same manner and at the same pace. Nations like men often march to the beat of different drummers, and the precise solutions of the United States can neither be dictated nor transplanted to others, and that is not our intention. What is important, however, is that all nations must march toward increasing freedom, toward justice for all, toward a society strong and flexible enough to meet the demands of all of its people, whatever their race, and the demands that the world of an immense and dizzying change that faces us all. Only earthbound man still clings to the dark and poisoning superstition that his world is bounded by the nearest hill. His universe ends at river shore. His common humanity is enclosed in the tight circle of those who share his town or his views and the color of his skin. It is your job, the task of young people in this world, to strip the last remnants of that ancient cruel belief from the civilization of man. Each nation has different obstacles and different goals, shaped by the vagaries of history and of experience. Yet as I talk to young people around the world, I am impressed not by the diversity, but by the closeness of their goals, their desires and their concerns and their hope for the future. There is discrimination in New York, the racial inequality of apartheid in South Africa, and serfdom in the mountains of Peru. People starve to death in the streets of India. A former prime minister is summarily executed in the Congo. Intellectuals go to jail in Russia, and thousands are slaughtered in Indonesia. Wealth is lavished on armaments everywhere in the world. These are different evils, but they are the common works of man. They reflect the imperfections of human justice, the inadequacy of human compassion, the defectiveness of our sensibility toward the sufferings of our fellows. They mark the limit of our ability to use knowledge for the well-being of our fellow human beings throughout the world. An indignation, a shared determination to wipe away the unnecessary sufferings of our fellow human beings at home and around the world. It is these qualities which make of our youth today the only true international community. More than this, I think that we could agree on what kind of a world we would all want to build. It would be a world of independent nations moving toward international community, each of which protected and respected the basic human freedom. It would be a world which demanded of each government that it accept its responsibility to ensure social justice. It would be a world of constantly accelerating economic progress, not material welfare as an end in of itself, but as a means to liberate the capacity of every human being to pursue his talents and to pursue his hopes. It would, in short, be a world that we would all be proud to have built. Here in this very audience are hundreds and thousands of men and women who could transform the lives of millions for all time to come. But the help and the leadership of South Africa or of the United States cannot be accepted if we, within our own countries or in our relationships with others, deny individual integrity, human dignity, and the common humanity of man. If we would lead outside our own borders, if we would help those who need our assistance, if we would meet our responsibilities to mankind, we must first, all of us, demolish the borders which history has erected between men within our own nations, barriers of race and religion, social class and ignorance. Our answer is the world's hope, is to rely on youth. The cruelties and the obstacles of this swiftly changing planet will not yield to obsolete dogmas and outworn slogans. It cannot be moved by those who cling to a present which is already dying, who prefer the illusion of security to the excitement and danger which comes with even the most peaceful progress. This world demands the qualities of youth, not a time of life, but a state of mind, a temper of the will, a quality of the imagination, a predominance of courage over timidity, of the appetite for adventure over the life of ease. There is nothing one man or one woman can do against the enormous array of the world's ills, against misery, against ignorance or injustice and violence. Yet many of the world's great movements of thought and action to flow from the work of a single man. A young monk began the Protestant Reformation. A young general extended an empire from Macedonia to the borders of the earth. And a young woman reclaimed the territory of France. It was a young Italian explorer who discovered the New World, and 32-year-old Thomas Jefferson, who proclaimed that all men are created equal. Give me a place to stand, said Archimedes, and I will move the world. These men move the world, and so can we all. Few will have the greatness to bend history, but each of us can work to change a small portion of the event, and then the total, all of these acts will be written in the history of this generation. Thousands of Peace Corps volunteers are making a difference in the isolated villages and the city slums of dozens of countries. Thousands of unknown men and women in Europe resisted the occupation of the Nazis, and many died, but all added to the ultimate strength and freedom of their countries. It is from numberless diverse acts of courage such as these, the belief that human history is thus shaped. Each time a man stands up for an ideal, or acts to improve the lot of others, or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope, and crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, those ripples build a current which can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance.
Father, and your next president, Robert Kennedy!